balls to pick the Bucks this week.
All right, Bucks fans, here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richey, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, Ira Kaufman. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Week 2 is here, and so is Lee DeCamper, Mr. JoeBucksFan.com himself. And we got some fun on this podcast today. A lot to go a little deep here, Sage.
You might as well describe what you're looking at when you look over at the Sage.
Sage is looking sharp today. He's also wearing that newsboy hat.
Beret. I believe it's a beret, Steve.
It's a newsboy hat. You're not in France.
And I wore it to my first guitar lesson the other day. So look out, James Taylor. I'm coming right after you.
Well, I see he has low standards.
It was a 30-minute lesson. I talked to the guy for 27 minutes.
We're going to see Ira at some Reddington Beach bar.
Yeah, I could be
picking
at a beach
on
bar.
Something.
So how much do you have to practice every night? 10 minutes, say, tell
yeah,
you?
Yeah, about 10 minutes. 10 minutes? I do a couple of strums, and then I lock it up.
Or your wife says, put that thing away.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you buy your noise-canceling headphones?
I'm trying to decide whether I should learn music. Most of these guitar players, they don't know music.
You're right.
Your boy Eddie Van Halen, he doesn't know any music.
He couldn't read music.
Yeah. So there's hope for me, Steve.
I think that's the exception, Ira, but you'll figure out the way to go.
I mean, the guy was a classically trained pianist.
Meanwhile, we have an undefeated football team on our
1-0, and of course it's undefeated at Bill Curry Ford. Ira, don't worry.
Drive Curry.
Don't worry. Drive Curry a mile north of the stadium on Dale Mabry Highway. They are still beating any advertised price by $100. And GM Sean Sullivan, he's told me that there's no catch. Bring in your advertised price, but you don't have to cut it out of the newspaper or magazine or take not that anybody needs those anything anymore, but you can bring in a screenshot, and it's just that simple. They'll do a little research. They just want to make sure you get the best price at Bill Curry Ford, and they have great prices, so shop there now at BillCurryFord.com. BillCurryFord.com. Used inventory, Sage, new inventory. And, of course, they've got the Giant, which is that huge spectacle of a dealership. 100 loaner vehicles for their massive service department.
A lot of dealerships don't do loaner vehicles, Steve. Sean Sullivan has no problem putting you in a loan. I think that's a big advantage.
I mean, it's huge. A lot of people put off getting their
car fixed. They don't want to sit there for 6 hours.
They don't want to be without the vehicle for a couple of days and deal with the rental cars and all that. It's a fantastic situation. Loaner vehicle, BillCurryFord.com. But more important, buy your vehicle there today. You have a choice where to buy, and this is family-owned and fantastic. BillCurryFord.com. Later, Sage, we'll talk about our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. Storm season so far, knock on wood, has been pretty good to us, Ira. Not too crazy yet.
Josh hasn't expanded to Louisiana yet, has he, Steve? Because they seem to get a lot of storms over there.
Yeah.
They get it bad.
Yeah, but we're hanging in there here, but they're not just for storms at Florida's Elite Restoration. Call them 24/7 if you have mold, storm damage, fire, flood, water under your sink. There you go, get Cosmo a treat, and it's all soggy, Ari. you're going to have a problem. You got to call Florida's Elite Restoration, get that free evaluation. Mention the Sage or Joe Bucks fan when you first call. And if you need their services down the road, you'll get $500 back.
500 clams, Lee. 500 clams, no question asked.
That's a lot of money.
A lot of chicken wings.
That can help you finish off your vehicle purchase at Bill Curry Ford.
Or buy an upgraded guitar. Maybe go electric, Lee. Maybe go electric.
Ira, you got an acoustic?
I got an acoustic.
A crazy week with the Bucks in a lot of ways. Sage,
not a crazy week. We're 3-0 picking Buck games. That's what it means.
Yes, of course, we all picked the Bucks to beat Washington. You and Lee talked about it after the game, gave your thoughts, some good insight there. Anybody can go back and listen to that if they want to. But a lot of interesting chatter, Sage, I think, for me, surrounding Graham Barton. There's a lot of different analysts out there talking about this guy in ridiculously high regard.
Balding is going crazy, right, Lee? He's going crazy.
I'll just paraphrase the great sports radio voice of Chicago, when Baldinger said that he saw a block by Barton that he's only seen one center make in 10 years, and that's Jason Kelce.
Wow.
And my reaction was, and is, to quote Mike North, take it easy.
Jason Kelce's going to end up with a gold jacket, Steve. That's high.
God. I mean, and I talked to Graham Barton about this, and him and Baldinger have become kind of close because they're both Duke guys. And there's not too many Duke players in the NFLs. I said, one NFL game? And he's comparing you to maybe a Hall of Famer? What do you think about that? And he's like, he's very sheepish. He's like, oh, I don't know about that. Very nice of him.
I've seen it elsewhere, Ira, but it's so rare to hear something like that. And it's not like the Bucks ran for...
I think Gruden's talking about it, too.
Gruden, oh, my gosh. John Gruden on his Gruden Loves Football channel.
A lot of it has to do with his mobility.
Bingo. That's
mobility.
It.
That's a big thing to get to the second level.
Mm-hmm.
And,
that's exactly
you know,
what Baldinger
next thing you know, Bucky Irving's got a 31-yard run. When's the last time we saw a Buck back with a 31-yard run? It doesn't happen very often.
Fournette.
No,
Fournette.
Rashad White had a couple of long runs last
year.
Many, absolutely.
Steve. Not many.
Oh, I know who. The pride of Vanderbilt. Sneak Vaughn.
Sneak Vaughn. Barton's off to a hell of a start, Lee. It's only a start. Mm-hmm. Let's see how he does against Detroit.
Jason Light spoke on the Buccaneers Radio Network very high on Cody Mauch and just talked about his, you know, extreme improvement. You know, he likes Bredesen, of course. He likes his line, but there's signs there. But I have to say, Ira, watching the game, you know, the line had some issues.
I didn't think the pass protection was great.
If not for Baker Mayfield pulling off some incredible escape acts, that's probably a 3-sack day. And, you know, a couple of, you know, leaks on the run game.
And I didn't see T.J. Watt on Washington either. I mean, they got some good defensive tackles.
And by the way, Baldinger, the play he's talking about with Barton was on Bobby Wagner. But we're not talking prime Bobby Wagner.
Yeah.
You know, that's another reason why I say take it easy.
Now we got a problem with Gedeke, Steve, coming up
boy.
This week.
Yeah.
And he played very well.
He did, right tackle and concussion. So is he going to go? Is he not going to go? These guys go through the protocols, go through the steps, and, you know, if you hit the marks and don't take a step backwards, you're going to be ready to play. But it could be him and McCollum out with concussions, or they could both be back.
I did not listen to White's full interview. I'm going to guess he's bragging about Mauch and bragging about Barton because of how they started the convoy when Rashad White would catch those passes out to the side.
Yeah.
I mean, those guys are like 15 yards downfield.
Yeah.
They've got the convoy ready to go.
Yeah, we're not used to that around here. and Steve, who's waiting to see if Luke Gedeke's going to line up at Ford Field on Sunday? A guy by the name of Aiden Hutchinson, when you talk about the best defensive ends in football, he's in the conversation. He's probably not number one, but he's in the conversation.
You're right. Didn't Gedeke stonewall him in the playoffs?
I believe he did.
Yeah.
I believe he did. And they move him around. They do move him around.
Yeah, and, you know, Schooley, the backup right tackle, I got to say, this guy, for me, he was the punching bag of training camp. I mean, he's constantly getting beat.
So Hainsey's not even...
I don't think he's up for it.
Hainsey's not even a factor or a thought, right?
Apparently, he might be the backup tackle.
Yeah, he's the backup tackle.
In this game.
If Schooley starts.
Okay.
That screen pass, I thought of you watching the game.
Oh, yeah.
Rashad White, I wrote about it, untouched. For 40 yards after the catch.
Wow.
40 yards, untouched.
Lee, you were there when I asked Mayfield about Rashad White as a pass catcher. And by the way, it's worth mentioning that Bucky Irving's not too shabby in that department either. But my question to Mayfield was, is White in the conversation as maybe the best pass catching back in football? Now, there's Christian McCaffrey. You know, everybody looks at him. Mayfield says there's no question about it. Always makes the first guy miss, Lee. Mm-hmm. And now he's got more room to operate.
Yes.
With the blocking
which
in front of him.
Which makes him even more dangerous.
Even more dangerous. You're going to see a lot of him out of the backfield catching balls against Detroit.
Bluntly honest, that's all I want to see him do. Otherwise, it's a wasted snap.
Some people think that 2.1 thing is overrated. Well, it is what it is, right, Lee? It is.
This is going on.
It's not like he had five carries.
To those people, I'd say stop it, okay? Rashad White, career, including playoffs, 450 carries. He either has the worst luck in the world or he's not a great running back. So I'm going to go with
going
the evidence.
3 years now.
As Lee would say, we're going to go with the burning bush instead of the hope here. We'll see if he can turn it around and be consistent.
To Rashad White's credit, and I've always been more than a supporter of him in the passing game, he's an absolute weapon. Sunday against, I almost said Redskins. Like I almost said Redskins?
Yes, you did.
That's a Howard Stern line. I almost said Redskins. Against the Commandos, he set a personal record for 107 yards yards after catch.
Wow.
So that was his best day.
I liked everything about the offense, Lee. Everything. Yeah, they had to settle for some field goals. Oh, you're not going to be perfect. 8 full drives. I don't count the last one with the kneel downs.
Yeah.
8 drives, 7 scores.
That's good.
Now, somebody would say, well, that's all. That was the worst defense in football last year, which it was.
They still scored.
They're not that much better this year, the Commanders. But, Steve, they're an NFL team.
It was a tremendous performance.
You know,
tremendous.
I never thought the Bucs were going to lose once the game started.
Really?
And once Washington thought they might be able to creep back into this thing, the Bucs shut them right down by extending the lead. And we're not used to that, Steve. We're not used to keeping out. Lee, I'll set you up for Liam Cohn. What did he say today about staying aggressive, no matter what the score is?
open quote, unless Todd tells me to take the foot off the gas, we're going, end quote.
I like
end
that
quote.
Kind of talk.
I love that kind of talk, but you're a field goal kind of guy. You like to run up the middle.
I don't remember. I don't think I remember Leftwich saying that, Stevie. I'm not sure. Stop. Yeah, you almost did a Danny Thomas. You almost spit up your drink over there.
Unless someone's lax on updating their Wikipedia page, he's still unemployed. At least in football, he's unemployed.
Who's that?
Leftwich.
Yes. Steve, one quick thing.
Take your time.
And, you know, normally, Steve, normally I don't care about these things, but I just happen to notice not the FedEx player, but the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. They went with Saquon Barkley. Well, what's wrong with Mayfield?
Yeah, but I get it. NFC, you know, well, it's the NFC East, you know.
You could argue three rushing touchdowns is more rare than four passing touchdowns, but
might have been two rushing and one receiving. I can't remember.
Okay. I want Steve to talk about that nugget he dug up. He tweeted it out Sunday about
is it about Nicole Kidman? No.
No, you guys mentioned it last podcast. Last eight games, Mayfield's had 20 TDs and four interceptions.
Now,
it's an incredible
run.
Now,
you have to update that?
That includes the playoffs. That includes the end of last year and Sunday's game. So you guys mentioned it last pod. It's an incredible number, and we'll see if he can build on it. I thought it was interesting, Ira, though, that last year's scoring was down in the NFL, and it's the thing Roger Goodell doesn't want to talk about because it sounds terrible. You know, with everybody wants fantasy and pinball scoring and all that stuff. But scoring was down in the NFL last year. In week one, only 35 total touchdown passes. Last year was 37. The previous years in order, 51 touchdown passes, 61 to 52 and 61
in
2019, an opening week. So,
that's a huge drop.
Yeah, but I was really interested to see if it was going to, if last year was an anomaly, but we're back there again. So Mayfield, 11.5% of all touchdown passes last weekend.
From one guy.
One guy.
Love the way the offense performed, Lee. Just love it. Stepping up in class. But you know what? I watched the Lions-Rams game, Lee. I watched a good part of it. I didn't think the Lions played that well. I thought they might have been outplayed by Los Angeles.
And you could argue the Bucs probably did.
You could argue that. And I don't think they have a great defense. Now, it's better than Washington's. They're not known for their defense, the Lions. But they have a hell of an offense.
Really interesting nugget by Liam Cohen today. And, you know, I watched the Lions-Rams game, and the Lions have statistically the worst pass defense of the
NFL. Couldn't stop Cuff.
In the NFL this
couldn't
season. Carlton Davis did not have a good game at all. And Cohen said that, you know, he was kind of bummed out that he didn't get a lot of film from the Lions because they stayed in their base defense the whole time, forcing the Rams to beat him through the air. And they would have preferred to see different looks, nickel looks and things like that from the Lions to prepare for this week. He's like, we didn't get him. You know, we have to adjust.
Now, Goff's a known buck killer, Lee.
Yeah.
He is. And why?
3-1.
You know why?
His arm. He gets time.
They don't flush him out of the pocket.
Bingo.
They don't make him
He's a different quarterback when you got to move him left to right.
He's also not rattled by Todd Bowles' defense. I mean, it's a confidence thing. And
even when he was at the Rams, right, Steve? Same thing.
The only loss he ever had to the Bucs, he still put up 40 points.
Yeah.
It was a shootout, 55-40.
Remember that crazy game, Lee?
Yeah, I was there.
And the Bucs had a pass rush, big pass rusher that year.
I got a question for you two guys. I wrote about it today. Am I the only one that is that didn't know that Mayfield had that kind of pocket presence before he became a Buck? I think it's a quality that's really – the Bucs are really reaping a lot of benefits from this. Like Steve said, could have been sacked three times. I think it could have been four times. Against Washington, and yet he moves within the pocket very well. You know, maybe not as well as Brady. Brady's the master, but he's damn good at it, Lee, and I didn't know that about him.
I seem to recall he was pretty good at that with Cleveland as well.
Well, we didn't get to see him then.
Oh, yeah, true, you know. True.
He's not particularly fast, Steve. He's not,
elusive.
But he's kind of light on his feet. And he made a lot of plays Sunday to extend the drives and extend the play.
Yeah, he's good at it. I think the veteran quarterbacks get better at that, you know, and then they eventually lose their athleticism, but he's 29 years old. Jameis was not a scrambler, but he had good escapability. So we've seen that before.
By the way, are they calling for Jameis Winston in Cleveland?
Oh,
yes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Aren't they investiture, Steve? Investiture with
Watson?
Well,
Watson is so dreadful.
It would be tough to bite the bullet.
Real quick question about quarterbacks and being elusive. Who was better at dodging sacks? And I don't know the answer to this. Brady or Marino? Neither one of them are mobile. but they had really good feet.
It's a tough one. Neither one got sacked very often.
No.
Not very often. And both got the ball out fast.
Lightning quick, yeah.
Lightning quick. I think that's the key. Mm-hmm. I think that's the key.
So, Sage, one thing I want to run past you here, just for perspective, because you've seen, this is your 40th year covering Buccaneers football like a
40 years.
Like a glove. And so you guys talked about it in the podcast. A lot of people have talked about it. You know, the chance for Bucky Irving. Bucky. Now, what I've never seen, and maybe it's just me, but he was lined up in the backfield, you know, before the snap, and the crowd is chanting, Bucky. The handoff comes to Bucky, and the chants continued through the play. And NFL Network did a feature on this, and even they were like, you know, it's like they weren't chanting Bucky, and then he got the ball, and everybody waited to see what happens, and then... And then they chanted after the play. The chants went all the way through the play.
Yeah.
All the way through the long run from before he got the ball. The fascination with this guy.
We're not used to that around here.
First of all, have you seen that? And what do you attribute the fascination?
Part of it is the dissatisfaction with Rashad White carrying the ball. That's part of it. Knowing that the Bucs were last in the league the last 2 years. And now you got the same guy as the bell cow. You know what happens to bell cows? They get let out to pasture when they're not doing the job. And Irving seems to have his ego intact. I think this is going to continue, Steve, but I said it the other day. Maybe it's too easy an answer. But, Steve, as long as they're winning and avoiding a little bit of a tailspin, I think Bowles will be reluctant and cone to make a change,
yeah,
I think.
Ira and I talked about that yesterday at One Buck. You know, it's the saying that I always use, winning is the greatest perfume. You can get away with the stench as long as there's a W on the scoreboard.
Well, what a debut for Irving. I mean, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Here's my real quick take on why the Bucks fans were chanting. They're hungry for a run game.
Yes, and they might have fixed it up front with the two new starters, but I'm not sure they fixed it to Rashad White's capabilities.
And I know people, I'm public enemy number one because I keep bringing up how White's a terrible running back. Numbers don't lie, I'm sorry. And I think I've been fair with the guy. He's an exceptionally good receiving back, not a running back. Again, this is going on his third year. How much more rope did he give him? But, like Bowles said, he's too valuable in the pass game to pull him.
Steve, if Light pulls this off with Bucky Irving as a fourth-round pick, and the guy ends up being a heck of a football player, I mean, another Rosanna for Jason Light? I mean...
Rosanna Dana?
these third and fourth-round picks, he's really good at it, Steve. He's really good at it.
So, Sage, Todd Bowles says last year doesn't mean anything. Baker Mayfield walks up right there after him and says, oh, guys are already locked in. You know, every time everybody's mind, we're talking about playing, facing the Lions again.
Classic
what's going
speak.
On?
Yeah.
Classic coach speak. Steve, you've been around. You've heard this many times. They don't like to admit certain things. You know, that
like
one,
a playoff
game,
loss.
One game might mean more than them to them.
Like not calling timeout?
Yeah, not calling timeout. Steve, how many times you say you hear a player or a coach say they all count the same? They all count
the
same. Well, it's human nature. This is the team that ended your season. It's human nature. They beat you twice last year.
Well, this is a measuring stick.
Do you think? But seriously, Ira, do you think it's Todd Bowles not wanting his team, especially with all these injuries, to go in there overinflating the value of this game?
Yeah, and then what happens if you lose?
When Bowles knows, you know what? We might lose 32-20 here.
I think that's his mindset.
You think that's part of it?
Yeah. And don't get too depressed. And you know what? If they start 1-1, that ain't bad.
No.
That ain't bad. They got Denver coming in. Who's Denver? You know, Bo Nix didn't look that good.
No,
last
he did
week.
Not.
Another rookie quarterback. So, look, I'm not saying that they're destined to lose, Sonny, but what are they, 6.5-point dogs? For a reason.
It's going to be tough.
It's one of the bigger lines this week
there. Yeah, it's going because they have so many injuries on defense.
It's going to be. And I didn't think Detroit played all that well, but I think they'll play better.
So, Sage, your opinion, you know, a lot of fans, not the biggest Todd Bowles fans, and they don't necessarily love his offensive philosophy, but they like his hires and things that he's done. But anyway, second year with a first-time play caller in the NFL, and Liam Cohen says today that he's been getting in-game feedback from Todd Bowles, and he loves the insight, and that he is going to be looking for a lot more of it.
He called a good game, Lee. He did. Now, it helps when Mayfield's having a day like that.
And it helps against Washington.
But my question really is for you, he says he's got good in-game feedback from Bowles, and he's seeking it out. Does that potentially cause an issue where You know, if Cohen, let's say week 3 and 4, he doesn't even ask Bowles anything during the game. Does that create an issue with Bowles? Like it's like if I say, Ira, I'm going to get your feedback all the time, and then 2 weeks later I pull back. It felt a little, I don't know.
It's not going to cause an issue if they're scoring 30 points, Lee. Yeah. You know, do your thing, Liam. Yeah. Do your thing. And one thing I didn't mention, Steve, along the lines of this offense, and I'm not saying they're going to put up 35 against Detroit, but, Lee, it was nice to see Chris Godwin get in the end zone.
Oh, yeah.
It sure was nice. It's a pet peeve of mine.
And he looked like the old Godwin, too.
He did. And you've been saying it all training camp, you know, from the first day.
From the first day, he looked sharp.
And Evans is Evans. Evans is Evans. He's going to go over that 100 touchdown mark. That's a big number. And he's probably going to do it in the next 4 weeks.
There's a possibility he could reach that 100 mark by the end of this month. There's 3 games to go.
You're an optimist, Lee, but you're not crazy.
Yeah, there's a possibility.
But you're not crazy.
Not saying, he needs what?
By the way, that first touchdown by Evans down the left side, great job by Evans, but you know what? That's a perfect pass, Lee.
That was on the money.
That's a perfect pass by Mayfield.
In a way, I want you to stay with us until you get Evans in. And another way, I want you to enjoy your silver years. So, but if
I wish they would waive that 5-year retirement thing, Lee.
When he's up for vote, that play should be one of the highlights. The way he fought off that defender, and our Joe Bucks fan official photographer had a photo. He was interfered on that. Guy had his arm around Evans'
that's
waist.
A great point. So he caught it with one arm, basically.
Basically. It was fantastic, and that should be among the highlights.
Steve, you think they're going to make any kind of conscious effort, even though it's only week 2, to get Kate Otten more involved? You think that bothers Liam Cohn? Does he think about those things?
I don't think it bothers him at all when they put up, you know, that kind of numbers and success. Cohen acknowledged today that they're not going to get beat by the edge rush of the Lions, that they're going to have a guy in there chipping and count on it.
Just not going to happen.
He said it's just not going to happen. That's what he put out there. So you figure Otten's going to be that guy, or at least one of them. And, you know, they got to go with what the defense dictates. And Otten will get his catches, but they're not there to make him the focal point of the offense.
All right.
With the weapons they have and what's-his-face, McMillan, you know, he looks like he's going to be something. They don't need Otten. They don't need him. Now, I'm not suggesting they should go Mike Martz. Mike Martz never used a tight end. But if Evans is catching everything, Godwin's catching everything, if White's getting excellent yak, if McMillan starts having a dent, which he did Sunday, I hope Otten's never targeted.
I hear you. Steve, we're at this point in our podcast. I must say something to piss off Buck fans.
Okay.
And I'm ready to do something.
Well, wait, before everybody peels away, let me remind them, Florida's Elite Restoration is there for them 24/7. If you have a disaster at your property, storm damage, flood, mold. Mold is a killer, Ira. You need a licensed mold remediation team at Florida's Elite Restoration, not just some mold crew that you find off Craigslist.
And, Steve, wouldn't it be great to have a crew come in and say, hey, it's not as bad as you think
exactly.
it is?
Exactly. And then and there you go. They'll come in with the technology free evaluation. But Florida's Elite Restoration is there for you. Tampa Bay area, across the state, through Polk County, Orlando, all the way across. Put them in your disaster plan. Check them out first, though, floridaselite.restoration.com. Go ahead, Ira.
Team me up, Steve. Team me up.
Uh-oh.
How are you going to piss off Bucks fans? What are you going to do?
Well, I'm going to say something that I don't think Lee necessarily disagrees with, but here we go. I'll say it very simply.
Win.
Tristan Wirfs, you can play better.
Yes.
Tristan Wirfs, you can play better.
Are we talking about the sack?
No.
There were 2 or 3 plays.
No, we're not talking about the sack.
Okay, good.
I don't see him as dominant on the left side as he was on the right side. I'm not saying it won't come, Lee, because he's only got a year under his belt in that respect. And he's a great athlete and a great Buccaneer, but he's not as dominant, Steve. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going to switch him back to the right, because Gedeky's playing his ass off. So, Wirfs isn't bad. He's not a liability, but I don't think he's an all-pro.
Well, here's what I say about Wirfs at left tackle. Last year was a learning experience. I think it was last 5 games, including the playoffs, he was dominant. Now, he comes out of the gate this year. I think even he would admit he could do better.
Is it possible he's not 100%?
Oh, there's always that. You know, he's not going to come out and admit it, neither will the Bucks.
Yeah.
There's always that. I'm just thinking maybe he had just a bad game. Maybe it's because he wasn't practicing all the time because of his contract. I mean, I'm grasping at straws here. But, you know, I'm not about...
You're not concerned about him. You're not.
Nah.
Yeah.
You know, Ira, week one...
And tell me about the sack. Of course, you mentioned the sack.
Well, the sack, if you really watch it, Rashad White got blown up inside, and Mayfield couldn't step up in the pocket, and he kind of drifted for a second, and, you know, after three seconds, Wirfs' guy got him. But it really wasn't on Wirfs. Rashad White got blown up.
Is it fair to say a slightly above-average game for Tristan Wirfs is just jarring to the senses, and we think it's worse than it is?
Yes.
You know what? Bowles acknowledged, Ira, he was asked on his radio show, you know, did you like this, did you like that, or did this offensive explosion impress you the most? And he basically said, what I was most impressed with was the team was physical, because after the, you know, light preseason and not many snaps and all that stuff, you wanted to see him be physical and everything else would take care of itself. So, I mean, week one to me has become so like an advanced preseason game that I can't take one guy's performance too seriously in the trenches anyway.
You know, you mentioned the key word. You know why it's a key word, Lee? Physical? Because Mayfield mentioned it about six times this week, vis-a-vis the Lions.
Yeah.
The one thing nobody talks about with the Lions, they talk about St. Brown. They talk about the two running backs. They talk about Hutchinson.
Penny.
They got a hell of an offensive line.
Tremendous.
Very good. And led by Sewell, who I think plays the right side, Steve.
Yeah.
I think he's the right tackle. So whoever's coming off the left edge is going to have a long day for the Bucs. That allows the Lions to do what they want. And look what happened.
Dictate.
In overtime. Mm-hmm. Look what happened. Unstoppable on the ground. Montgomery's pretty damn good as a second back.
Yeah.
I don't know if you consider him better, you know, over Gibbs or who's number one, who's number two. Doesn't matter. Behind that line, I think Rashad White can get 87 yards. How do you like that, Steve?
Before I hit you with a question about the safeties, Ira, to look at Thursday's injury report, we've got K.J. Britton, Will Golston. We're back at practice full go, so that's a good thing. Still no Gedeky. Logan Hall was back full go, testing his foot. We'll see how that plays out. No Josh Hayes, no Kancey, who we know is not going to play. Zion McCollum is listed as full go, but that doesn't matter with the concussion situation. Tyke Smith did not play illness.
Did not practice.
Yeah, did not practice.
And Winfield's out.
So, Christian Izian is going to play safety for Winfield on Sunday. Does that scare you? How do you feel about that?
Well, I'd feel a lot better if they were playing Washington this week. Again, I asked Bowles yesterday. I was being serious. By the time the season ends, would you be surprised if Detroit leads the league in scoring? I wouldn't. They got a hell of a balanced offense. I didn't even think Goff played that well against the Rams. He can play better, and he's a buck killer. So I'm worried about the injury report in the secondary. I'm concerned. First of all, you're losing your best guy in Winfield. He's by far their best guy, and he's not playing. Yeah. He's not questionable. He's not playing. I think Whitehead led him in tackles the other day. I think he did. So that was a good start for him. You know, Jamel Dean's Jamel Dean. You know, might get his hands on a ball, but he ain't coming down with it. And Izian playing safety. And then the short on corner, because I'm...
McCollum. Bryce Hall, yeah.
Yeah, Bryce Hall's out. Ankle,
yeah.
Yeah, looks like for the season. That makes this an even tougher matchup, Lee.
Well, what's even scarier is Jamel Dean and Jordan Whitehead seem susceptible to injuries. They're always getting dinged up. They're good players, but they always get dinged up. So it could be gruesome Sunday. If, you know, I mean, didn't Jamel Dean get hurt in the playoffs?
Sure.
So those guys, they get dinged up a lot. So if those guys go out, oof.
I got a flip side for you two quickly, knowing what you know about this guy. Do you think Carlton Davis goes up to Campbell this week and says, I got Mike Evans?
It wouldn't shock me.
Would he do that?
It wouldn't shock me. And to his credit.
Didn't he do that with Jamar Chase in that one game?
When Carlton Davis went up against top shelf number one receivers, he always did a solid job. I remember when Arians' first year, 2019, and everybody, DeAndre Hopkins. DeAndre Hopkins didn't do a damn thing in that game. Davis locked him up.
That's going to be a matchup to look at.
I agree. Underrated matchup.
It really is.
And I'm going to say this real quick about the injuries. You know how sad it is for the injuries? This is how sad it is for the injuries. They need Logan Hall.
That's a perfect way to put it, Lee. Perfect way to put it. And Kancey's absence is really going to be felt, Steve, because pressure up the middle is what you want against Goff, just like a Drew Brees. Pressure up the middle. Now, Cone says they're not going to pressure us from the edges. We'll see about that.
Yeah.
But as far as the Buck defense,
well, the Bucks are going to go into a lot of this max protect, and they're going to try to run the ball. They're really going to try to run the ball. And I think the turf better suits Bucky Irving than Rashad White. He's a little quicker, shiftier, all that stuff. But if they can't run the ball here, it's just going to be tough to put up the 28 30 points they probably need.
Mm-hmm. But, Steve, without Kancy, can they have the inside rush that they want against Goff, who has proven time after time that if you don't rush the guy, he's very dangerous.
Yeah.
He might carve you up.
Well, I mean, look, Lee's pointed out even last year, Anthony Nelson overwhelmed in against physical teams. Joe Tryon, Cheyenko, we can hope that a couple of his flashes inspired him from this past weekend. But I liked what Yaya put out there. They held him back, I thought. I mean, I realized they were winning big, but he only played like 58% of the snaps, and he says he's healthy, and he led the top of the league in pressures for whatever that's worth. So, I mean, at least he's moving people.
And now, Steve, it's time to make Lee DeKemper's day, which I am certainly willing to do.
I relish
doing it. No, I'm going to mention the guy's name that Lee's either going to drop that microphone cord, or he's going to say, you know what? You look pretty good. Servassier Dennis.
He did look good.
What do you think, Lee?
He did look good.
There
you
go.
I've been down on him because he was never healthy. Finally, he got on the field, and he shocked me.
Steve, you watched the film 9 times. What did you see from Dennis?
Active.
Yes.
You know, knew where to be, and good things will happen when you do that.
Well, he was physical right that one hit.
I mean, we saw the hit, but just active and just, you know, like shot out of a cannon. He's quick, which was his thing in college and thing in training camp of 2023.
Small, though, right?
He had an impact, let's put it that way,
okay,
which was good to see.
He played a little bit, and he made the most of it. So
now we can
exciting.
Talk to, about him without you wincing over there, Lee.
Yes.
Yeah, there you go.
That's Lee's barometer. Make a play, and then I'll talk about you.
Yeah, exactly. When people say, hey, when did you write about this guy in the practice squad? I'll make an impact.
Make a play. Who's got the balls to pick the Bucks this week? That's what I'm interested in. Who's got the ball?
Baker Mayfield's wife.
I just think because of the injuries, I can't just pretend your best defensive player arguably is off the field. The guy who makes Vita Vea better is off the field in Kancy.
I don't know about the cornerback situation.
Not sure about the cornerback situation. The Gedeky thing, I think, is a horror show if he misses.
Yeah.
Horror show. I'm going to call that right now, and I hope
Hara.
I'm dead wrong. But
is he already one of the better right tackles in football?
He's certainly above average.
So I think the Bucs, they may have, I'm not questioning the offense, they may have 24, 27 points in them, no problem, which would be great, but I don't think it'll be enough. So if I had to put a number on it, I'm going to say 30-26 Detroit.
So close.
Yeah, I think they can hang.
And the Lions don't cover. They do not cover.
In that scenario, they would not cover, yeah.
Think of how far Getke has gone in his career.
We thought he might have been a bust, Lee.
Oh, rookie year. Fans wanted to strangle him. And now he's one of the better right tackles a year and a half later. So he's come a long way.
Just to clarify, for me, that pick is if Getke plays. If he doesn't play, I mean, just save your money. That's
okay.
My opinion.
All right, that's fair.
Even with Getke playing, I don't see the Bucs winning nor covering. I just saw some stat this morning about how playoff teams, when they win their first game at home, they're just so dominant the next week. Didn't Detroit play at home the other night?
Yes.
The injuries. The injuries have me spooked. Like Steve said, you got one of the best defense players, not on your team, but the league, and he's out. Another guy, one of the better defensive players in the league, Kancy, he's out. And the way they like to run the ball, and Kancy's out, and you're hoping Logan Hall plays, you know, 38-17.
Are you hedging that on whether Gedeky plays?
Gedeky plays. If Gedeky plays, I will say 30-17.
I can't believe we're talking about Luke Gedeky as a game-changing agent.
Well, it's
amazing.
Well,
just amazing.
I don't know if I'll go as far as saying game-changer. It's who he's going to block. And if you expect this schoolie to stop Aiden Hutchinson, I got Arizona Swampland for sale.
I'm going to say 30-20 home team, Steve. We'd all like to pick the Bucks, but we're realists. And like the three of us are all saying, you know, the injuries don't help. If they were full go, it'd still be a tough game.
Yeah.
And you know what, Ira, I'm going to add? The Bucks lose, whatever the scenario
is. No crying.
I'm not going to be down on it. This was on my long list of games circled at the start of the year. I didn't have this as a W for the team, I'm hoping. But it's not going to change
That's why you said they need to win week one.
Not going to change my opinion of the team at all if they're just not up to it with these injuries.
The wound that this possible loss will leave, the salve for that wound, is that nobody expected the Bucs to beat the Lions before the season.
And another salve for the wound is you got a rookie quarterback coming into Tampa in week 3. And who didn't look all that good in his pro debut.
And Ira, same concept of when the 49ers are one of these big teams, come to Tampa, the Bucks are going to knock them off. That's why I picked them to win 10, and you picked them to win 9. How about that?
There you go.
Sage, oh, I thought you did have 10. I'm sorry.
I got 9.
Came out this week. Vic Fangio made it clear to the media that Devin White lost the job in training camp. So Devin White is a $4 million plus incentives backup on the Eagles. Does that tell you anything?
Yeah, it tells me plenty. It tells me you might have to get rid of the guy because he's going to be pouting. And he's not one of those guys that's going to be rooting for his, you know, the guy that's starting ahead of him to do well.
That's a great point. He's a me guy.
And one more thing. I'll say this, not hanging around the great city of Philadelphia. Devin White's attitude has been a factor in him being a backup in Philadelphia.
Oh, I'm sure.
Not just his play.
Because Fangio's a no-nonsense kind of guy.
All right, now, Ira, you know Todd Bowles well. Let's just say hypothetically, we're not wishing it on anybody, but one of the Bucs linebackers is lost
in
it.
That's a no.
I know where you're going.
That's
now.
A no.
All right. No Devin White.
No
possible.
Devin White.
All right.
No Devin White. Light will weigh in. Glazers will weigh in.
Yeah.
No Devin White.
If it's week 6.
They'll bring back Jameis before they bring back
you're
Devin
saying...
White.
All right. Well, anyway, can't
there you go.
Can't go beyond that. Any other thoughts, Ira?
Well, I figure another month I'll bring a guitar to the podcast and maybe play a little tune while I'm.
That would be legendary.
Wouldn't that be
that
something?
That would be legendary.
All right, go ahead.
Of course,
Lee.
He'll have a tape right next to him.
Maybe I can do "Eruption" by Van Halen, Lee. What do you
think?
Oh,
I'm sure you could do it, but I wouldn't want to listen to it.
All right, Lee, what do you got?
This is right up your alley. This week, Kyle Brandt went on Good Morning America, which he's a co-host of, and he had about a three-minute-long monologue of why Mike Evans is the greatest Bucs player of all time. I don't know if you saw the whole video or not.
I did.
We've talked about it several times. You got to weigh in on this.
Well, Lee, since you tipped me off to it when I got home yesterday, I played, I think it's 3 minutes and 50 seconds.
Mm.
And I listened to the whole thing. And what did I do? I went right on Twitter, right to Kyle Brandt as a response, and said, ever heard of Leroy Selman? I have not gotten a response from Kyle Brandt. If he's being honest right now, I think he'd realize he might have made a mistake by not at least mentioning Leroy Selman. Now, Leroy Selman retired after the 84 season.
Right,
I'm not sure Kyle Brandt was born in 84.
Fair, that's fair.
I'm not sure.
Because I remember him, but I was a kid.
They call that recency bias, Steve. It happens all over sports. For example, Lee, and I have fun with these things because I go back to the mid-60s. That's my frame of reference.
And come on, Ira, you go back a lot farther than that.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to weigh in something that happened when I was 4 years old. And Russo is maybe early 70s, but mm-hmm. I'm mid-60s. Lee, when they pick up, when they pick the 10 greatest NBA players of all time, nine of them are guys from the last 15 years.
Yeah, that was atrocious.
That's atrocious. You ever heard of Bill Russell?
I know.
Have you?
Jerry West?
So, all right, going back to Kyle Brandt.
Bill Russell in the eight-team NBA. It's just different to win championships when there's eight teams versus 32.
The man won 11 titles, Lee.
I know.
And he was the focal point.
Dominant.
Yeah, he scored 15 points, but he blocked 11 shots.
His defense was insane.
Insane. And a great rebound. Anyway, look, you want to make that argument about Mike Evans as the greatest Buccaneer? It's not nuts. It's not crazy. And I didn't say Brandt was crazy.
Mm-hmm. It's a good argument, yeah.
Can I have Selman in the mix somewhere? Somewhere.
So what you're saying is he would have been, his argument would have been
more persuasive, I think.
Okay, I was going to say accurate, but that's not really the right word.
Lee, did you
had he said 20?
Lee, did you name who the Buccaneers were on his top?
He rattled off, obviously, all the Hall of Famers, with the exception of Selman. Talked about Sapp, talked about Brooks, Rondé Barber.
I'm not sure he mentioned Lynch.
He did not mention Lynch.
Right.
If he would have said 21st century, he's got a better argument. But he said franchise history.
You can't knock Mike Evans. I mean, you just can't. Now, he did bring up a couple of things, I think he did, or maybe somebody else did, that have nothing to do with it in terms of, I don't think it should be a factor. How good he is in the community, I'm striking that down. First of all, you're not going to beat Leroy Selman. So, I don't think that counts. Teammate, I think that does count. Great teammate, mm-hmm. Mike Evans. But so are these other guys that you're mentioning. Now, I pissed off the Buck fans once on this podcast by mentioning Tristan Wirfs can play better. I'm going to do it again, Lee. I'm going to do it again, and this one's going to be worse.
Ooh.
And we'll talk about this all year long. I'll say it right now, Lee. I know it sounds crazy. There's no guarantee that Mike Evans is a first ballot Hall of Famer. There's no guarantee that that's going to happen.
It wouldn't shock me.
Well,
Marvin Harrison didn't make it the first time. He's got 128 touchdowns. He didn't make it. He didn't make it year two. So let's not go crazy. Buck fans are no different than fans in other places. They think their guy is a step above maybe the way that the voters look at it. Is Mike Evans a fantastic football player? Of course. Is he the best offensive player? That's a low bar, Lee. I don't even know who'd be second. I mean, you know, what do you got? James Wilder? Warwick?
For the Bucks.
Warwick Dunn? I don't even know who's second. I mean, Allstott?
That's a hell of a point. It'd probably be Allstott.
You know, Paul Gruber? Who are you going to pick? So
Sean Farrell?
Steve, we'll talk about it more, but don't assume Mike Evans waltzes into the Hall of Fame on the first ballot. Well, yes, he's going to get a gold jacket. As I said to Lee, Steven, I don't think you could argue this. As great as Mike Evans has been, I don't think he's ever been considered the top wide receiver in the NFL. Never.
That's true.
And I don't think you can make that claim about Selman, Sapp, or Brooks.
But I think I would put Evans as a better overall Buccaneer, or in this, however you want to categorize this, than Barber.
I would.
I wouldn't argue that.
And I'd also, just because I looked it up, Ira Marvin Harrison, first 3 years, nondescript start to his career.
Yeah, but look at his final numbers.
Well, yeah. Peyton Manning shows up and he goes crazy, not taking anything away from him. But
and Evans didn't have Manning.
And Evans was great out of the gate.
He was.
So, interesting stuff. All right, Sage, got a final thought for Bucks fans?
Yeah, I mean, Mike Evans could keep me hanging around that Hall of Fame committee just to push one more guy through, Lee. Just push one more guy. And by the way, I played yesterday in the locker room because Evans was sitting down on the couch.
Uh-huh.
He was eating his lunch.
Yeah.
Was this guitar or what'd you?
I played him the Sal Palantonio soundbite.
Oh, nice.
He loved it.
Is that right?
Yeah, he absolutely loved it.
All right, Sage, we'll talk more about your locker room exploits in the next podcast. And go Bucks.
We'll be talking about the 2-0 Bucks.
Let's hope we're all wrong. Just a quick update. Friday afternoon, Luke Goedeke ruled out for the game with his concussion, so he will not go. And Zion McCollum, his concussion, still pending. So that's usually pretty good news, but we'll see. The Bucks should update that on Saturday. Hopefully he can start. And thank you, Bill Curry Ford. BillCurryFord.com. Shop there immediately. Great time to go out there on the weekend. Mile north of the stadium, BillCurryFord.com. And anytime is the right time to call Florida's Elite Restoration. If you have a disaster at your property, check them out now. Florida's Elite Restoration.com. Go Bucks.